The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your truth is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
We're rolling, everyone. For the first time in some time, we're recording a live... Well, not a live podcast, but an in-person
live
podcast.
Live to tape. In person.
Not as the
yes,
same.
Yes, just in person. We're always live to tape.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Live from Eggplant Studios in downtown East Toronto, it's Footy Prime, the live but not live to tape podcast. Starring...
Dan Wong.
Dan Wong.
Oh, thank you.
And the rest.
Yeah.
Amy, Craig, Jimmy, and James. And me. And a bottle of wine. Nope. Water. Oops. Start over. Roll the tape back. Have at it. Thank you to Eggplant Picture and Sound for hosting us here. And I'm the only one who's not drinking. Back to you, Kent.
It's a good question, actually. Why aren't you drinking?
I have to pick up my child this afternoon.
Well, that's a good
2 hours away. So I want to be... On point for
why
driving.
Why you put her in an Uber?
Actually, she can just sleep over, I guess, at the daycare.
Well, what's going to happen if you don't pick her up?
They charge you $1. It's $1 a minute after 6 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah, and you have to pay it in cash. They keep your child hostage. It's a thing. So if you're late by every minute that you're late.
Yeah, $1 a minute. Yeah,
yeah, then makes sense. And you have to pay cash to get your kid out of child jail.
Do you have a bag of quarters? Just ready to go?
I got rolls of pennies.
Didn't you guys have this rule?
Maybe. Now I think about it.
Yeah, because that's why everyone was like always in a rush at like 5 minutes to six. Because you're like, because they actually at the end of the month they mark it down, and if you're liked or disliked, you have to pay up.
They keep your kid hostage until you pay.
That's right.
In cash.
That's right. In cash.
That's brutal. Like if 6:01, you owe me a buck.
Mm-hmm. Just
well,
saying,
they weren't always super strict.
50 it was
cents.
More of a rule, though.
But, I mean, that's got to be almost what $60 an hour.
Yeah,
that's good math,
isn't it?
It's nice. Brains over here. That's
right. That's right. You know, a couple of beers and the brain starts working. Anyway, listen, we got lots to get to today, but it is nice to have Dubs in Ontario, in Toronto, for once. Although the Wonga has Wonga is feverishly trying to pay for his parking right now, but Wonga had some opinions as to why Dubs is here.
You know, the further we get ahead, the further we get behind, and I can't believe the rest of you aren't as upset as I am that the founder of the Northern Super League and one of the top voices in soccer in Canada, Amy Walsh and Diana Matheson, they couldn't rent a normal place for a meeting. They had to meet in a bathroom. And we'll share the picture. We'll share the picture. But what is Canada come to? We two steps ahead, one step behind, that the soccer brains of Canada are meeting in bathrooms. That's what I'm upset
no
about.
No waste
today.
Of money. It's all about not wasting money.
Oh, yes.
They knew the sounds of each other from the cubicles.
Well,
Diana, is that you?
That must be Diana.
Did you ask
me? I mean, you guys know. Once you've been teammates.
And my phone number.
It's quite intimate.
Like, well,
you were playing battle shits?
No, but it was quite hilarious. So I come out and then I'm washing my hands. It is. And then somebody emerges just a little bit behind me, like a couple seconds behind, takes the sink to my right. And then you kind of give it like a cursory glance, right? I don't really pay attention. Don't look up in the mirror as a person comes behind me. And I do the look and I look again and I was like, D? And I like walked over, kind of like hunched over, my hands still wet. Don't even give her a hug. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And she told
what
me
do you
later.
Think?
She's, well... Obviously. But she told me later, she's like, I'm not a complete narcissist, but before I realized it was you, I thought you were a fan.
But that's a crazy coincidence.
Like, I am.
Right. Yeah.
Was this at the hotel or at the Union Station?
Union Station washrooms.
The Union.
I mean, does Deanna hang out often? I wonder, in those washrooms. Which would make the odds less surprising.
No, but I've been there enough.
Yeah, she's there every day.
Yeah. Wait for fans. It's me.
No, but when you go there enough, you're a commuter, you probably have like a favorite spot. You know the good bathrooms versus the bad bathrooms, right? So Dee and I had arrived at the same conclusion. This is probably our best option to do our business.
But there's not a great option in. There isn't a great option at Union.
No, probably not.
No.
But I was delighted to see my friend.
That's nice.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
She's doing great.
Yeah?
Yes. Busy as ever. Mm-hmm. But it was good to see her.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, though.
Number one or number two?
So you're in, though.
It's a quick in and out. Likely a number one. I'm also a number one fan.
Just somewhere to release gas. Yes.
That was a long flight.
Listen, we want NSL access this year. Like, that ain't happening now. We're talking about Dana Matheson's gas.
No, Amy's.
Oh, Amy's. Okay, sorry.
It's going to be an explosive year.
Get off the flight. It's true, when you're on the plane, your belly is like a space hopper.
Yeah. Just looking over your shoulder, make sure nobody's around.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one little bubble of air turns into like a big balloon.
Yeah. The airline fart is bad, right? Yeah. Isn't it? It's so dangerous. It's just a big risk you're taking.
Yeah.
So I just try and squeeze one out. Oh, God.
Too much.
Blow it between your legs. So it goes under the other one, and it's three rows ahead before you know it.
Oh, my God.
You look at your neighbor and go, that's disgusting.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
There's etiquette on this plane.
You know, it's funny. We have Emily is producing today.
I know. She's horrified.
She's great, but she has no idea. She told us. She goes, with all respect, I don't know what you guys talk about. I don't know what your podcast is.
Yep.
She still doesn't know.
Wow.
We're like 5 minutes in, and she has no idea what this podcast is about. It's not about airline farts, I can promise you. But it's about...
Not thematically.
Mm. Well, no.
Right.
No, but
yeah.
No, but Dubs is in town because Canada's women's team are playing once again against Argentina this weekend. And again, Wonga has an issue with you.
I do. Okay, this affair she's having.
Of grievances.
She's cheating on us with Jordan Wilson. And yes. Watching you two create chemistry on camera so organically is. Don't you feel a little
used? I don't like it one bit.
Oh, come on.
No, you're too comfortable.
Yeah.
It's too cozy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we like Jordan. He's great. He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Great guy.
But, yeah, like, you're ours. So stay the fuck away, Jordan. Yeah.
Again.
Stay away from my woman, Jordan.
She knows what she's doing. Yeah. She can...
Thank you.
You know, work with anybody.
Yeah. Yes. It hurts a little. Antics. I just want to say. It hurts a little.
Yeah.
You see how easy her patter is, her banter with Jordan. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, this is what Dubs is. She's a professional.
Yeah. You feel cheated.
We're just one of her conquests.
That's it.
You know?
It's like when you have a best childhood friend and then you're slightly shattered when you realize they have other friends.
Yeah. It's tough now for kids, right? Because they have, you know, they can discover that through Snapchat or through something on their phone. Oh, my God. Amy's not hanging out. She's with Sarah tonight.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's difficult. The FOMO. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of FOMO there, yeah. But do you want to start talking about the women's team, though? A little heads up.
Sure.
What to expect against those thugs, those hooligans.
They are.
Argentina,
yeah,
dreadful human
thugs.
Beings.
Yep. Yeah, I think the last time out, though, Canada played Argentina, we lost. It was a two-game series, lost the second one 1-0. If I'm remembering correctly, it was a pretty abysmal defensive set piece. So that's a kind of a running theme now where this team has improved in the She Believes Cup. But they continue to be vulnerable and look a little bit leaky defensively on set pieces. No, I'll shoulder that one, like me. But it's interesting because we were talking about this over at One Soccer.
Ooh.
Just about, you know, your evaluation of the team through the She Believes Cup. Like, it's really just three glorified friendlies, but it's in a tournament format. So it does prepare you for November, which is going to be World Cup qualifications. And it feels like it's building towards something. So they suffer defeat versus the U.S., but it's a good underlying performance. Do they need to beat Argentina to continue that momentum, but to feel good kind of comprehensively if you're looking at the tournament as a whole? And I think that they do. They didn't have to do it against the U.S., but it was an emphatic win versus Colombia, and they've been progressing. So I'd like to see them be a little bit more dominant in possession on the ball. They'll have more of it versus Argentina, but they've got to play quick because they can be ruthless and very physical, very combative, and you got to look out for your ankles and your shins and your back and your Achilles and all of the body parts versus Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Does two wins and one loss in this tournament, does that make you forget about last year? Is it
a little bit?
Yeah,
I think it does.
Yeah, that's the real Canada, not last year.
Well, I mean, everybody has recency bias when you're a sports fan, right? You remember the most recent win, especially if it's good. Mm-hmm. Like if something really sticks in your craw or is particularly painful, it stirs up you know, old memories, and that's usually negative. So if they lost to the U.S., it was a heavier defeat, but the performance had been poor, then we'd still be talking about 2025. Mm-hmm. But two good performances have made us forget the latter half of last year, which is good.
Because, I mean, it's got to change that narrative, because after this World Cup this summer, it's going to shift to the women with a couple of really big years coming up, right? Olympics, World Cups.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this is important, because entering this year, the narrative around this Canadian team was, man, is she the right coach for the job? What's happened to that consistency? But a decent She Believes Cup. I mean, even losing 1-0 to the States is not the worst thing in the world, right? They get beaten, but it's pretty close result, not an embarrassment. So shift that. Like I said, we're fickle, right? Us football fans. Mm-hmm. We can change our opinions very quickly.
I wanted to ask Dubs' biggest takeaway from the U.S. game, because you weren't able to jump on with us yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you're so busy with one soccer and traveling.
Jordan Wilson.
Yeah. What was your biggest takeaway? Because we talked about it. We were, Craig, I'm going to quote Craig, not a bad result.
Okay.
So what did you think?
Yeah, to quote Craig Forrest again, I'd have to agree with that. That's also something that Craig Forrest says, right?
Yeah, it's not. Well, it isn't a bad result, really, is it?
But you said it.
Yeah, I did say it.
Okay.
You weren't even there.
Jimmy, did you have any thoughts on the defeat?
I thought it was a good performance overall. Mm,
did you? Yeah, I think it was a dominant performance by the U.S. I don't think Canada was embarrassed by any stretch, but we also talked about the fact if the U.S. had been more ruthless, because they had two grade A opportunities. I think they had 18 shots. And I think possession was like 65 to 35. So if they'd been a little bit more clinical in the box, then maybe if it's 3-0, are we still taking away positives, pulling positives from the match? I think we still are, because your focus is really on the performance of individuals, but then also as that collective. And I think the press, the way it was applied and how organized and disciplined Canada was, especially higher up the pitch, that's good. You can build on that. Mm-hmm. And I think there were enough individual performances. I really like Chloe Lacasse in the left wing. Mm-hmm. The midfield was severely depleted. They lost Jesse Fleming due to illness. They lost Simi Awuzie after 37 minutes, straight down the tunnel, because she had some tunnel issues.
So, yeah, was this a thing? This was a pooping issue?
Yes.
Like, they got food poisoning.
We don't know the details of it, it's the shits, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She ate something iffy.
But Stoney
shrimp,
also said
shrimp this time of year.
gas station shrimp.
Yeah. Wow.
She didn't name the players, but two players had dealt with this illness prior to that and then had been made available for the U.S. match. And actually, she did name Annabelle Chukwu, who's the young player, huge amount of potential and promise. You know, Jordan Heidema has been pegged as the next Christine Sinclair. She's not that, but Annabelle Chukwu is a special player. Yeah. Scoring at Notre Dame, scoring for the youth national teams, and she came in and she made a big difference. So we're looking for game breakers. She is potentially one of them, but she was affected by this illness, so she was unavailable for the Colombia game. She plays a few minutes versus the USA and looks very good, so I hope we see her again. And also Kaylee Hunter has yet to get her senior debut. So I really hope we see Kaylee Hunter versus Argentina.
Do you notice that there's a pipeline from players coming up that are
more so than there used to be. Like there used to be either U17s, decent results. Like Rian used to coach that team. It was her first head coaching job when Kennett Heiner-Muller was the head coach of the women's national team. But it was very much compartmentalized. The U17 and any success or that team, very little continuity from 17s to 20s, and then very few U20 players who made the leap and were permanent fixtures with the senior team.
Right.
So I think now there's more cohesion in the way that the program is, like the overhead of it and the way that it's overseen. And then also more, I think the player pool is deeper. And so you're seeing more competition, more challenges for spots. It's less of a given that you're going to make that leap.
Yeah.
But you're seeing more faces that are successful at the 20s that then are being called into camps at least and getting blooded at the senior level.
Chukwe, is that her name?
No, Chukwu.
Chukwu, sorry. Now she's at school.
Sinky.
Shut up. Jesus Christ. But she's at school right now in...
Yeah,
right. So what year is she in? Like, what is her next move? What league? Like, who's sniffing around? Do you know?
I wouldn't be surprised if she makes the jump.
To what? Like Europe? Or
anything.
Yeah, Rooney.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Heidema thing where she's going to go sign in with PSG.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Kaylee Hunter situation where she might end up at an NSL team and then maybe go somewhere else.
What do you recommend players who finish their schooling or if they get a chance to go to the NSL, for example, which isn't Europe just yet, but it's getting there? I think
day in, day out, professional environment, go for it.
Yeah.
You can always do your studies. And like there are some NCAA programs that are good, but you have to make sure it's the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was there, and I think that continues, that you're very much just being utilized as a cog in that machine and you're getting results, but you're not necessarily being developed as a footballer. And obviously, if you're getting your education paid for, especially at an institution like Notre Dame, whom I fucking hate because we lost to them in the tournament time and time again when I was at Nebraska, but huge respect for that program and how winning it's been. So you find the right coach, you find the right setup, and I mean, it could be perfect. And maybe you only spend 2 years there, and then you make the leap somewhere. You can maybe have the best of both worlds. But I think you find the pathway that suits you, and you do it.
It's interesting you say that because, well, the collegiate angle is that, because I would actually recommend if somebody asked me if they're, I would say, go to school, get your education, only just because of the odds of making it are stacked against you. Very few people then but go to college and also make it professionally, right? I mean, in the Premier League. I mean,
so you're going to show them the realism of the stats right off the hop. You're like, you're unlikely to be the 0.2% that make it, kid. Just shoot them down right off the hop.
Yeah, I'm just like,
No, I get it, though. Yeah.
But men's is different to women's, though, as well, right, in that regard. Is there more chance for a top player in the women's game? I guess there's fewer.
Oh, yes. In NCAA?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because of what's that title that they did?
Title IX.
Title IX.
Which is?
Equal amount of women's sports or.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yes. I didn't know. See, I know nothing about the
college system. So if you've got a football team, NFL, whatever, football, we're talking gridiron, you got 50 guys. Okay, so what are we doing? We need a women's volleyball team. We need a women's football
is that
team.
How
we
need
It was
so
a huge
the opportunity
shift.
Is there, but for the men, it's actually less now because of that reason. But they get less opportunities than the women do in the collegiate area.
James Sharma, didn't you see or go see Billie Jean King? Sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
You don't know about Title IX?
Listen, that's 2 years ago now. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, for Christ's sakes.
Remember when we were in the back corner?
No, I remember that, by the bar, conveniently enough.
We were going to get killed, and
we got a picture.
Not really listening, were you?
No, I was, but that was a long time ago. I just didn't retain it.
What I wanted to know, though, right, is with the national team program and the young players that are coming through the system, is there certain universities that they would recommend or have an affiliation with where they're saying, okay, if you want a scholarship, go to this school because we know you're going to get developed well? And the only reason why I'm asking is because I know with a lot of MLS teams, they've got good relationships with certain universities because of the way that they play, the coaches that are there, they know they're going to continue getting developed. So if they do come out of university and they go pro, in MLS you own their rights, when they do come back, you know they went to a good school and they got trained properly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the women's program and the national team, do they actually tell certain players, hey, listen, you're a top prospect for us. If you're going to go to university, this is the one that we would recommend, and hopefully you can go there because we know after 4 years and you're still playing with the national team program, you're getting developed the right way.
Yeah. I mean, it can be incestuous a little bit in the way that, you know, the relationships in the small world, that's already the world of football, and then women's football is even smaller where it's who you know. Right. So a lot of those coaches will advise a player to go a certain route, not because they're more likely to be looked at with the national team, but because they trust where they're headed and what their development's going to be like. Like, I went to Nebraska, not because I wanted to go to the Midwest in the United States, but because John Walker, who's still the head coach there now, was currently or back then when I went in the late 90s, was the assistant coach for the national team. So it behooved me to go there. And it wasn't because the national team, the national team.
Yeah. Yes. And I think in that case,
it behooved
Jimmy,
my cloven hoof.
There's also the danger of tampering.
I had to move
far. You know,
far.
Looking like you're tampering, you're helping certain universities by sending the best players there, even though they might be the best development. But there's got to be a little bit of a separation, I think, from that to
but there's a,
look
there's
corrupt.
With university, with NCAA, there is a pipeline. Golfing is a great example, Craig, with the Canadians, right? All those top, there's three top Canadians in the PGA who all played at Kent State. And that's because, hey, we're buddies, we're friends. And then, hey, come on down. And I don't know, did Karina, was she already at Nebraska when you went there?
Or no, we were the same year.
Oh, okay.
Even though I was a sophomore when I went in because I did the year at McGill. But right. I was offered, I've told this story, I think, on the second ever time I was on this pod, that I was offered a scholarship because I was in with the U-20s. John was coaching. Mm-hmm. And it was, say, late July, August. And obviously when you're going to school in like 3 weeks after that. And he's like, I had a fabulous camp. Like I killed it at that U-20 camp. And playing actually outside mid, not even center mid. And he's like, do you want to come to Nebraska? I'm like, nope, I'm all set. I'm going to McGill. Thank you, though. But, you know, like not up on my high horse or anything, but I had no idea what was waiting for me at McGill.
And McGill, the soccer was not great, but the education, I know you failed a grade. So on national podcast.
Amy, Dubs not failed, Jimmy. Amy.
Dubs failed a grade.
I did not. Actually, I almost failed kindergarten because I couldn't speak French. And I was quiet. My teacher thought I was really dumb.
Really?
Yep.
It's not very nice.
No. Oh. She was very mean.
Mm-hmm. Je ne sais quoi.
When did the French like become normal for you? At what age?
Probably like 6 or 7.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to, but this is a Billy Madison moment with Steve Buscemi. Where Dubs crosses off people's names off their list and puts makeup
put on
my
lipstick.
All over. Exactly. No, it's okay. Great kindergarten.
Wave to him on the stage.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me anymore.
No, it doesn't bother me. Okay.
Can we call her out? Your teacher?
I don't even remember her name.
Yeah, she's likely gone.
Oh, jeez.
But she
was really old.
I lost weight in kindergarten. Like, I was already
stress?
Like a... Yes!
You weren't eating?
No.
Come on.
I used to...
she called you dumb?
Well, because she just wasn't nice. I used to hide when the bus would come. And then my mom would find me, like, in behind the house. She'd be like, well, what the fuck are you doing?
You skipped
like,
the bus?
Like, I don't want to go to school.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And
that's
this is so why weird. We tell Dubs to stay out of the comment section.
Yeah. Exactly. In many ways, you're still missing the bus, aren't you, Dubs?
Right.
You're still hiding behind the house.
Yeah.
Or not going to university.
No.
I go to the professional game.
That's right. Go to the pro room.
Well, that's poor Dubs. What a tragic life you lived.
No, come on.
See?
We have some comments to get to.
We do.
Yeah? You wanna bring some up?
Sure. My computer has gone to sleep.
I sent you guys a really nice one that I'll share first. Because it's every once in a while we need some support. If I can find
Dubs especially,
this.
Apparently.
No.
Yeah, I know.
It was from our friend Mountain Wellness Scene.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's one of the YouTube, and it just said, love this episode so much. All the OG group chat was brilliant. So thank you, and thanks for listening. Because we know that sometimes we can go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
But we also like to, we enjoy ourselves. And hopefully that comes through on our podcast, that we actually are really good friends and support each other in all different manners. That's all. Mm.
Mm. In that same vein, I'll just knock you down a couple pegs.
All right.
This is from IU2, and it says, "This podcast," and this is a quote because this is something that JC says, "has content that may use words and share tales that offend, comma. Please feel free to use your best discretion." And this person says, "I'm offended by the run-on sentence, comma splicing. Please insert a period or semicolon, not a comma." And I thought that would just absolutely crush you. Steve Chang. And I replied, "Wonger will be crushed. Thank you, fellow pedant."
Except I didn't write that. Period. JC did. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel I wasn't attached to it. So I have no problem.
Okay.
Keep being a pedant. I like pedantry.
Yes, do I.
There's a little bit of spite in being a pedant, right?
Always.
Yeah.
What did I write?
You copied down the, anyways, you changed the.
I did.
Yeah, when you did the
throwing JC under the bus.
No, no, no. Mm. When you changed the, when you changed
Amy's bus.
When you changed the caution warning.
Oh.
It was one thing, and you changed it to something else.
Yes.
And it just keeps getting copied and copied.
Oh, okay.
So, but I've left it. Just
oh,
because,
okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. You didn't done better.
No.
I try my hardest.
We had some comments about our VAR talk, by the way.
Okay.
That was quite in-depth. How it's changing. They're trying new things. They're ingrained in certain things. They're implementing new things this season. Our friend Carrie Ryan says VAR needs tweaking for sure. Limit the time for decisions and get another official on the pitch. The game is so much faster. Refs need an extra set of eyes on the pitch and an extra set of legs. So that's interesting. Is the game that much faster now than it was? Do you need more than one ref out there on the pitch? We've seen hockey do it a number of years ago now, but that's a different sport entirely. Do you think, Craig, you need another set of eyes on the pitch? Would that reduce VAR?
No. I don't like it only because if you had two referees and two assistants, those two referees and their opinions or the way they ref games might be completely different or slightly different. Like some consistency. Yeah. And plus, they're fit enough to get up and down. I don't think that's an issue. Is it faster than it used to be? Yeah, for sure.
But
they got to be fit. But I think what I don't think is right is I think it's still in place is they have to retire at 45.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why Kalina, the greatest referee at the time, the greatest referee, had to retire.
Mm.
Pierluigi Kalina.
Yeah.
Our friend Alan Scholes also had a comment, which was, yeah, limit VAR to a max of 1 minute. He has a couple other things. If a player gets a yellow, they go off for 5 minutes. The PK taker has to have a fluid motion, no stutter type steps allowed. And then he also, of course, Man U are now going to win the league. Woo.
So, but I mean, there is a rule about the stutter step.
Yeah, but is it enforced?
Well, no, but you have to have forward momentum.
You have to continue the momentum going forward.
Yeah,
you can't stop.
Which is very on the edge sometimes.
I mean, I've seen, not that it's great to watch, but where a goalkeeper has already kind of left the building on his, you know, trying to guess which direction. And the ball's like just being kicked into the other corner.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is not what this is. Like the penalty kick has lost its way if that's what's going on. Because it's close to that now, right? Where they're stutter. Yes, they're going forward, but it's so brazen in almost stopping.
That's I hate the stutter. But to go back to what you were just saying, I don't mind almost the standoff for who has the most or the iciest veins, right? Where it's a really slow run-up. And then who's going to move first? Who's going to flinch? And then that I like to see.
Oh. Craig,
it's almost a survival
of
the
fittest. No, I like that. Yeah.
Craig, were you looking at the striker or the taker's eyes, their feet, their hips? What were you looking at?
All of it.
Junk.
The jump, all of it, just blur a couple of
words. Was swinging, that's where he knew it was going.
I mean, in the league, you have a sample size. I mean, so Alan Shearer, penalty.
Sample size of junk?
Well, whatever team Alan Shearer is on, Matt Letizia, guys like this, you know who's going to take it. They're going to take it. So you have an idea where they're, you know, they might, they've definitely, even Alan Shearer, he was keeper's top right corner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you used to move along the line really quick.
Well, when they changed the rule that you didn't have to stand still, I don't understand why people, you see it once in a while now, yeah. a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they wouldn't use that more often.
Because I remember watching you going side to side, and I was thinking, if I'm taking this penalty, man, this is terrible.
Yeah. Like I was almost on the post just before they took it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine trying to stop a penalty when you've got to stand still on the spot. Just stand still.
Well, and react. You're supposed to only react when they shoot, right?
Yeah.
And nobody did. Everybody cheated. Mm-hmm. The only thing with moving along the line, I would say now, is that with VAR, is they set themselves in the middle and they have that step backwards. If you look at what they do, the keepers will take a little step backwards. So their push-off leg is behind the line for sure, because there's no point and cheating, because you're just going to get pulled back anyway. Mm-hmm. So you better make sure your technique's right. So moving along the line would make that a little bit more difficult. You could have a better chance of anticipating and moving off it earlier than I think if you're set and you know what you're going to do.
We know the offside rule is going to be experimented with in the CPL this year, right, coming up. And there's more rules coming to CPL. I think it might be announced next week, actually. So a little bit of a scoop.
Breaking news.
Kind of. Well, I tweeted about it earlier, so it's not breaking news, but
Sharms is hearing.
My sources tell me that.
Some prick is hearing.
TSN is reporting.
Yeah. No, they're gonna experiment, this is through FIFA again next season, with a season coming up with a form of VAR. It's called Football Video Support. Essentially it's VAR, kind of a hybrid version of VAR. Which is right now being used in the Serie C in Italy, Liga F in the women's top flight in Spain, the Maltese Premier League. So it's being used around the world right now, but also in the CPL. And also coaches' challenges. They're going to be starting this season in the CPL. FIFA's paying for all this, apparently, which is interesting. Jimmy, the coaches' challenges.
Yeah.
Were you on the show when we talked about it last time? Or were you missing? I forget now when we talked about it. You may have been on it.
I think I was on it.
I'm a little bit wary of this
memorable.
One. Remind me what your thoughts were on it.
The coach's challenge. And what was it for? Just anything that happens on the pitch? Is it goals? Is it tackles?
It's for anything clear and obvious errors. So serious missed incidents in relation to goals and no goals, penalties, no penalties, and also direct red cards.
Yeah, I think so. I like it. I think it's a good idea, because I think far too often, you know, a play is missed on the pitch. And they carry on with it. And if you saw something, then you can draw attention to it. Or if a referee sent somebody off and it wasn't a blatant foul, then absolutely, if you got a chance to keep that player on the pitch.
If you don't have VAR, it's a good option if you don't have VAR. Because if you have VAR, you don't really need that.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to pick up on clear and obvious.
Supposed to.
Right. But if you actually have a league, which I think if they say everybody can't afford VAR, leagues around the world, you have an option to, you know, it might be televised on cameras, have a coach's challenge as opposed to VAR.
I am curious, this football video support, which sounds like VAR to me.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. We're going to find out more very soon, I think. Something that FIFA is really pushing in these leagues right now. So there will be video replays, essentially.
So is the coach going to have a flag in his back pocket like the NFL?
Hope so.
Just throw it onto really cool. the field.
Yeah. Aim for the top striker.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Sorry.
Or the ref.
Wasn't it in football? Where was it? NFL. The referee hit the guy in the eye.
Yeah. It was an offensive lineman. He threw it at him and blinded him.
Did he blind him?
And he
highly offensive.
Yeah.
Sorry, who got blinded? The player?
The player got blinded. Yeah, because the ref, you know how they got always wanted to be, some refs wanted to be the center of attention?
Yeah.
So he threw the flag, which has a little weight in it. It went through the offensive lineman's mask. He threw it like that.
Oh my
and
God.
It hit him in the eye and blinded him. We could look. Let me look it up.
Yeah.
Well, here's something. Speaking of ball sports, I was watching the Bluebirds, the Toronto Bluebirds, playing the Atlanta A's. And no, it was the Jays game yesterday. And it ended on a coach's challenge for the third pitch, because they called it a ball. Coach called it, said it was a strike. They went back, they looked at it with baseball VAR, which I guess you, I don't know what you call that.
Bar.
And they called it, and then they said, no, it's a strike, and that ended the game. Yeah. Bases loaded, 5-9 was the, or 9-5 was the score, and it could have been on grand.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it was weird because it was like it. Yeah, I didn't like it last year,
did they? Not
I don't think
call.
So. No, I don't think so. That was the first time I'd ever seen it on television before. So I don't know if they're just trying it out in the Grapefruit League or if it's going to be implemented, but it seems like that's the trend in sports in general right now.
Shouldn't sport be sport that what you play, you know, with your mates on Sunday afternoon is the same sport you're playing at the top level? You're playing under the same rules?
No.
Isn't it? No?
No.
No. Why?
Because it's like there's importance to it.
There's referees.
There's jobs on the line.
There's consequences.
There's consequences.
Yeah, but you have referees. Highly trained referees.
And that's why I always agreed with VAR coming in, because it was like, for the amount of times that we got screwed over by bad calls.
Plus, you always talk about home field being such an advantage. The crowds influence referees. That's it.
There's no more bigger advantage in all of sports than football at home because of the influence of the crowds.
Yeah, that's true. But with VAR, I agree with it, and I agree with what Stax is saying. There's so much at stake now. Like, for instance, do you remember when France knocked out Ireland? Thierry Henry handball, knocked them out.
You brought that up last time we talked about this.
Yeah, and doing it again. Because that could change.
No, it's massive, though. Yeah.
It's massive. Yeah. The amount of money that could have got generated, pumped back into the FAI, you know, for the youth development and other things within the country. So I think, there's too much
money involved. Get it right then in that case.
Get it right.
Well, the whole idea of it came out, it's for clear and obvious, and then just went sideways.
And exactly. It's gone sideways.
And if it takes into Al's point, Alan Scholes' point about the minute, if it takes longer than a certain time, it's not clear and obvious.
It's not clear and obvious.
Yeah. Like, so there should be a time limit on this because what, in fact, it's enforcing is the clear and obvious part of it, right? And so if you can't figure this out in one highlight, one slow replay, then that all makes sense to me, because if it's supposed to be clear and obvious, make it effing clear and obvious.
So we're saying for VAR, 1 minute to figure it out. If you don't figure it out,
keep the game going.
Yeah, it should be enough, right? With all those angles,
I would agree with that, because sometimes, what was it? How many minutes was it the other day that one call was?
It was Brentford.
Yeah, it was 5 minutes.
7 minutes.
That's ridiculous.
Combined, it was 7 minutes, two calls.
Yeah. They should have 1 minute, figure it out. Yeah. If you don't, then the place stands.
The size is a little bit tough because it is either offside. Like, and if you're going to use VAR, it's offside. And if it is a toenail, it's offside. It's still offside.
But now it's going to be daylight.
And people are like, Well.
But that's crazy, what the automated lines were supposed to help, though, right? For the offsides?
It's supposed to. If they're straight.
Yes. But speaking of time, longer, just to interject, for the coach's challenge, does it have to be within a window of time since the incident happened?
I don't know. But that would make sense, too. Mm-hmm. Like can your eyes in the sky call down to the to the sideline and say, check this? But it should be, I mean, at what point do you let the play go? So it's okay. Yeah. Might be offside. We'll let it go.
They go down the other end and score,
right?
And it's like, hey, we want a challenge. But you didn't beforehand.
Didn't
Maybe there's an opportunity for Charmin's proper with eyes in the sky, and there's pies in the sky.
Just launch them like down from a plane onto people.
You know those t-shirt guns?
Hit me in the eye.
Those t-shirt guns, but pies.
Yeah.
So great, frozen pies could kill people.
Like clay shooting, but pie shooting.
Yeah, pie shooting. Yeah.
Everybody open up.
And another thing about that, like the coach's challenge is...
Oh, I thought you meant the pies.
It got me thinking that a coach's challenge, are you allowed to radio down? Are you allowed to have support from somebody up above to be able to make that call? And are they watching it on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it have to be made by the coach on the field?
I think also with this whole thing, like the laws have to be black and white too. There's too much interpretation of laws, and that's the issue with the handball, has been for a long time, even the offside for a long time, right?
That'll always be the case.
It's always, right?
Just from one continent to the other, it changes. It's just
But it also big. Goes to, you're talking about offsides, but all of a sudden you're talking about technology too. All the cameras that have to be set up, but even more, all of a sudden, the resolution of that camera. So a 4K camera versus an 8K camera, because what they're doing is they're putting a pixel, like someone is putting a pixel line for 1 foot and then the other, and which one's closer to the end line. So all of a sudden, your one camera in one stadium is 8K versus 4K or standard def. I know it's really kind of nerdy, but at the same point, makes a difference, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're like, what resolution are we working off of?
Well, you were doing best can, and if it's not clear and obvious to you, then the play stands.
And that's the whole thing, right? Clear and obvious.
Do you know what the coaches call? How many do they get?
I don't know. I think it's
16.
Two.
The hurry up game.
What are you hearing, Charms?
My source is
1.5.
It might be 2.
1.5.
You're making this up.
I don't know. Just 1.5. Yeah. But
this is a smaller
sense,
flag.
One per half. Right?
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
When you don't have VAR, I think that's a great.
But they're going to have VAR as well, or a version of it.
And what's version the,
of it seems
but
that
how,
way.
Yeah, but how,
what is
how
it called
involved again? Are they going to get?
It's not a catchy acronym, is it?
No, it's not yet, but we can certainly change that. Currently, it is going to be called. So, look at my.
I tell you what, I like it though. I like the fact that they're doing
football video support.
This and the CPL.
They could have done better, couldn't they?
Yeah, I agree.
Football video support.
I think it's great for the CPL.
FES.
I do.
Yeah, me too. More eyeballs in the CPL, for whatever reason, right? Globally, because people will be curious, and it's the highest level of football that they're trying this stuff in as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Why not be experimental?
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't agree with that.
Well, listen
I
to
do
you.
Agree with it.
Listen to you over there, Mr. Anti-VAR.
Oh no, I hate it. I can't stand it. It ruins everything. I like knowing who I can yell at and get angry at, and that's the guy wearing the black.
Now you can cheer twice for goals.
See, Beth, I don't want to cheer.
You hate
twice
that
for goals.
Part, eh?
It's the worst part. Isn't that the worst part of VAR? You might like VAR, but that can kill it. Mm-hmm. I like the impulse, the score, your cheer.
The referee points the center. Like,
right.
It robs you of the cathartic expression of joy.
Yes.
I love the suspense sometimes.
Or that.
Especially if your team scored, you're not sure.
And you're like, do you think it's offside?
And then everybody's talking. You like that. In between, when your team scores, you enjoy that. Bullshit.
I like the suspense.
No, you don't.
I do. I really do.
Like, if you're with Buddy, like, it's a conversation while they're going through. Because what do you think? Do you think it's offside?
I think that raw emotion.
And then it's a goal and everybody goes nuts.
Yeah, what if your team, the guy's 2 foot offside and he scores and you're like, oh.
It sucks. It happens all the time.
Yeah, but not
I can yell at that guy. I can yell at that guy with the flag.
Right. Charms wants a scapegoat.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Unless, I mean, robot referees is, I think, the only solution eventually, right? Robot referees who are perfect. Right. They have VAR built into their little heads.
You're a fan of a super club, and they always get the calls.
We lost to Wolves, Craig.
Not because of bad calls.
Wolves.
I'm going to follow up with our offensive lineman, just so you know. Mm-hmm. The incident happened in 1999 during a game between the Cleveland Browns and Jacksonville Jaguars. Referee Jeff Triplett threw a penalty flag that struck Orlando Brown Sr. in the eye.
Threw it 3 times.
The flag was weighted with metal BBs to help it fly farther. It slipped through the gap in Brown's helmet face mask, striking him directly in the eye and causing immediate pain. Enraged by the pain and the potential for serious injury, Brown shoved the referee, Jeff Triplett, to the ground. Brown was initially ejected and suspended indefinitely. The suspension was lifted once the severity of the injury, temporary blindness, became known.
Temporary.
Brown was unable to play.
It's not permanent.
Listen. Brown was unable to play for 3 seasons due to the injury, resulting in medical issues. He sued the NFL for $200 million, settled for $25
million. Wow. It's worth it. I'd take that, wouldn't you?
He's fine.
Yeah.
For a lineman?
He's fine. $25 million? They're like, close that eye and can you read this? No.
I don't think you would. You lost 3 seasons.
How many zeros did you see in the settlement?
You're done.
Was he good enough, though?
You're done. Yeah. He's done.
But was he good enough?
He was great. Orlando Brown Sr. Was an all-pro.
I am curious.
Pirate.
What's
a
pirate?
He's got Orlando Brown pushing buttons.
Yeah, he's got a great job in the mall. Yeah. As a pirate.
There's a guy who went into the Sports Hall of Fame and standing with Lou Pasaglia.
Kicker for BC Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah. And this particular guy was going into Canada Sports Hall of Fame as a blind swimmer. But he read his thank you message off a teleprompter.
What? He couldn't have.
Yeah, he did. He totally did. Like I stood and chatted. We chatted with him.
So did you ask him about it?
He must have had Braille in front of him, though.
No, but I remember Lou Pisaglia going, how? he's a blind swimmer. Like, he goes, he's looking at us like we're chatting anyway.
It must be really nearsighted.
But there's different levels of blindness, right? Exactly. Right?
Like, well, this is it. Right? Different levels. So
You're like vision impaired.
You just didn't like the fact that he could read off a teleprompter.
Yeah. Maybe he was short-sighted or long-sighted, so he could read a teleprompter. But
well, it depends how far it was, though.
Yeah.
I
just thought that was...
I guess being a blind swimmer, though, I mean, you must always have...
Should we cut that out? Or
I'm good with it.
Everybody's going to be looking for a blind swimmer.
Yeah. Wouldn't a blind swimmer always have like a big bump in his head? Always.
But a blind swimmer also wouldn't have to wear goggles.
I think they have a bell or something, so they when they get near the end, they...
Yeah, in their shorts.
They have like a cowbell.
That's true. Oh.
What's that? Okay? Sorry, Emily. No, it's not. Get it out.
Okay. Emily's appalled right now.
Yes.
Yeah, workflow just
she should be
increased.
How long have you...
But it is, I mean, if I didn't mention the actual Sports Hall of Fame, like... That he went in as a blind, like, yeah. Isn't that? Like,
I'm sure he wasn't cheating. Sure. I'm sure he wasn't cheating. Clearly, he was blind. Blindness comes in many forms.
Yeah,
well, yes. I'm sure they keep an eye on him. Just like, sure he's not.
I see what you did there.
Unless he got a blind spot for him.
Yeah.
Any last comment?
I haven't got one. No. How long has the show been so far, Emily? How long has the show been so far?
She's disgusted.
She left.
I'm disgusted. I mean, it's clearly too long. It's got to be...
No, it's about 45 minutes.
Oh, is it?
That's good.
45? Okay.
Probably 50 now.
Is there anything else you want to get to, anyway?
I mean, I have a Sargent comment.
I like the Josh Sargent comment.
Goalkeepers.
Okay. Give us a Josh Sargent.
Give us a Josh.
A Josh Sargent. Josh Sargent.
It's not an easy.
Josh Sargent.
It's not easy.
No.
From
Josh.
Leamy.
Yeah, really.
CND. This is not me. Gio Giovenco, I'm guessing, scored over 23 times with a championship-level team. No shot Sargent hits 20 this year. Will he improve the team? Absolutely. Will this team make the playoffs? Nope.
Mm. It's too early to say that, I think.
Did you listen to our podcast yesterday?
I did.
Okay, so Dax McCarty said, no risk, he's a sure thing, but will not score. I think he went through the amount of goals.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, he's not going to put up more than... You know, 15, 20. I think it was 15 was the number that he thought he'd...
15 to 20, yeah.
15 to 20.
Yeah.
Because he's never done that before anyways. So it was more about he's not a risk because he's a great player. But he's also, you know, the other thing was not being chosen for the U.S. men's national team. You're thinking where this guy is in the pecking order. So one thing that we didn't... I know this is a Josh Sargent thing, but I'm morphing it into a Norwich thing. With Ali Ahmed and what a deal Norwich got with Ali Ahmed with what, 1.5 million, I think it was?
Well, on Forrest, the transfer. You had a great tweet about this last week.
Yeah. That's a great bit of business.
Oh.
I mean, if you're Vancouver, like, if you're the owner, you're Kerfoot, you might be going, did we get a good amount of money for him? Like,
are there add-ons, though? There are add-ons to the Ali, I would imagine.
There might be.
I imagine, yeah.
But not up to like...
Okay, what would an add-on be? Just explain that to me.
Well, if you got promoted, there's probably something. They'll probably get a kickback from that.
Maybe even a move on.
A goal, potentially. Assists.
Probably a move, yeah.
Would they agree on that, though, Norris?
Yeah. Get a percentage of that?
Appearances.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a scenario. Ali Ahmed continues playing the way he's playing, and all of a sudden Norwich is out of trouble. They're already kind of out of trouble since he's arrived. But someone in the Prem says, you know what? I like his play. Brighton Hove Albion, pick him up. That move on for that player pockets money for Vancouver
Whitecaps. Yeah, they'll have a selling cost.
Maybe.
Maybe. If they've worked it into the contract.
I'd imagine they'd do that in that deal.
Okay.
I mean, you're selling a guy with potential to the league championship. Yeah. You want to have a clause in there.
Yeah. If I'm Norwich, I just want to clean. What do you want for him? 1.4 million. Okay, done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want more. Well, this is the reason why we don't want
to
pay.
And he wants to go as well, right? As part of the thing. He was in the last year of his contract, I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, Sargent, he wanted to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From Norwich, right?
Shows the systems, right? Because yeah.
But yeah. a lot of them, I mean, seeing Norwich comments, they liked him as a player. They were disappointed the way it turned out, and they're not too happy with him on that mm-hmm. front. But they don't think he's worth 20 million, 22 million. Yeah. They were they were happy we got a mountain of money for him.
I like him. I think he'll score goals in this league. And I think, you know, when you're talking 15 to 20 goals, if you can score and say, look, he's here for 4 years and he scores anywhere between 60 and 80 goals over those 4 years and roughly playing maybe 120 games, 130 games for the club, that's good numbers. Mm-hmm.
That would be, if that that's turns good out, numbers. That would be worth it.
Yeah. And you think he can deliver on those numbers?
I think he can deliver. In Major League Soccer, I definitely think he can.
Yeah.
Just how big, powerful he is as well. I think a lot of people don't realize how big he is mm-hmm. and quick. Really, really quick. I mean, he's got 9 for goal, so I think he'll get it. And I think with Georgie mm-hmm. underneath him, I think.
Well, that's huge, right? He'll get the most out of Georgie.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is important, which you know wasn't talked about, but he needs someone to pass to score yeah. goals because right yeah. now that person doesn't mm-hmm. exist. So you don't bring in Mihalovic and just say, okay, now you got to deal with respect to Derek Etienne Jr. Mm-hmm. You need someone with more quality up there.
I think the settling in part is a sure thing. There's no issue there. I mean, mm-hmm. he's an American kid. There's always the danger of that. We've seen that with Jermaine Defoe, for instance, never settled here.
Yeah.
The Italian.
But then Josie did. American.
And then, exactly. Well, he was fine, yeah.
Yeah, turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Despite not a great European career.
No.
Right, Josie?
No.
Right? I mean, he did well in Holland, right?
Eredivisie,
Eredivisie. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, he did.
He was at AZ just like Georgie.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was scoring goals for fun in that league.
Yeah.
They got one goal in 70 appearances in the Premier League.
Sunderland.
Yeah. And Hull.
And Hull, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about Hull.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, they weren't great teams, so he wasn't getting a hell of a lot of chances, but.
Or a hell of a
just, it's amazing. It was just a level just too high. But the fact that they recognize if he can fill a net in the Eredivisie, I mean, we're looking, you know, he's going to do that here.
Yeah.
And he did. Chubinko was a bit of a gamble. I mean,
remember, he's the outlier.
Remember before he left, he was supposed to stay at Juve for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. But he became such a problem in the dressing room because he was making more money than any of them.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you can have him. We end up getting him a bit earlier.
Yeah, it never worked for me, Juventus. Again, it's a little bit step up, a little bit too high. At Parma, he was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And when did he come over to Toronto? Was it in the January window? Or was in the summer?
No, but that partnership with Altidore and Gio was amazing. They complemented each other so well.
Yeah,
great, amazing. Great players.
And then Bradley in the midfield. I mean, they overpaid for all those guys too, but they
got a championship, right? So they didn't overpay. Mm-hmm.
No, but we said sure.
Well, Seba was the highest paid Italian athlete.
That's why he was a problem in the dressing room.
But was he in Juventus though? When he got the deal with TFC, he was definitely the highest paid Italian athlete.
Yeah, he was at Juve. But he wasn't even playing very much for Juve.
No. And now he's still with the club.
And TFC said, we want that guy.
And we want that guy. And all the guys in the Juve team were like, you can imagine that, you know, what the dressing would be like.
Yeah.
They would love to. Look, most players would love to come over to MLS. They know it's not the pressures that you have in Europe.
If you asked any TFC fan back in 2000, when was it a bloody big deal? What year was that? With the Defoe deal.
Is that 2013, 2014?
Around there. So say in 2013, you said you got either Jermaine Defoe or Sebastian Giovinco. Who's going to be more successful? Everyone says Defoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single fan who knows anything.
He just didn't settle. That was his issue.
Yeah.
Exactly. I always thought, I never saw that coming. I actually thought he would have been fine.
Who's that?
Defoe. Just knowing him from West Ham. I just figured he'd do well and he would settle. But. Yeah. It's interesting. People don't realize, like, when you look at the South Americans, the Brazilians and Argentinians that are playing, all the top players in Europe, it doesn't matter where they go.
Yeah.
They're still unbelievably
they
good.
Adapt them.
None of them bitch about fucking lifestyles or anything. Mm-hmm. It is snowing, they're out there. Raining out there.
Yeah. It's love for pot.
Well, they also are supporting more than just their families.
That's true.
They support communities, and it's important that they make as much money as they possibly can. Remember Oscar, who went from Chelsea to China? I was one of them. I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You're playing in the best league, making whatever, like 25 million at Chelsea. Now he's going to make 50 or whatever it was in China. It's like, you're playing in the best league. You're young, whatever. He's like, he said, I would be seen as being selfish if I didn't take this opportunity. If my community found out that I turned that down because of selfish reasons, because of the wanting to win a Premier League title, and it's like, holy shit, mm-hmm. for some perspective to what they have to deal with.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it. I'd be selfish.
No. Yeah. And all those players, too, all the risks of their families in South America, Mexico, getting kidnapped.
Well, yeah. Like
that's
Diaz.
A real, real thing.
Yes, reality. Look at Luis Diaz, Liverpool.
Yep.
Right? A couple of years ago now.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, they gave his dad back.
Yeah.
But the Honduran kid, what was the guy in Tottenham? What was his name?
Oh. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fullback. Palacios?
Yeah. What did you say?
Palacios.
Palacio.
By a vowel.
Palacio.
By a vowel?
Anyway, Palacios.
He was the right back.
By a vowel, he's telling.
Palacios' brother was kidnapped, and they actually paid, I think it was $200,000, $250,000, something like that, and they never gave him back.
Tell you what, if my sister was kidnapped, I wouldn't pay for her.
God. She knows it too.
Oh, she knows, absolutely.
Yeah, she knows. Talking about Palacios' brother, he's fucking killed.
Oh, was he killed?
Yes.
Oh.
It's not funny now, is it, Charles?
No, not so much.
Cut that part too.
Harry Redknapp was telling that story because he, even though they paid the ransom and they didn't give him back, it was quite a bit of time. It had been a year before they found his body. And Palacios waited all night long after finding out because he didn't want to wake Harry up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. That's Wilson Palacios, or Placio. Mm-hmm. I forget that story, clearly.
See, that's what happens when you don't see Craig for Wilson, 3 months. He comes
2009.
With the saddest stories I've ever been around.
No, it's back in 2007.
The blind swimmer.
2007, he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. And he was playing through all that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, you got some unimaginable.
More stories there.
Yeah, any more happy stories?
Yeah, so Palacios
left. That's just the reality.
He left the Spurs hotel at 7 a.m. on Saturday as his team prepared to meet Everton in a crucial match for the club. He received a phone call from his mother at 1 a.m. telling him that his brother, 16 years old, had been killed. He calmly packed his bags and then went down to the lobby to wait for his team to wake for their early morning meeting.
Wow.
Didn't want to wake anyone. Ah, that's awful.
It's terrible.
All right.
Be grateful. Note. Embrace life.
Yep.
We're all lucky to be here.
I just know if my brother Mike got kidnapped, he would be pissed at his valuation.
Because someone has to peg that, eh?
Right.
They have to peg what you have. Think about it. Like, if they're calling Jimmy Brennan and Jimmy Brennan's family, it would be, how much does Jimmy have so we can then extort that for Michael, right?
Well, I think they're just chucking numbers. Knowing my brother.
No, you got to be in the area.
How are you going to be in the area? If you're in Honduras and you're in the jungle, how are you going to find out anybody's details?
They've got internet. They got the satellite.
Starlink,
yeah.
But my brother, I think if he was valued at $100,000, he'd be pretty pissed. He'd be like, no.
Really? What's he worth? What do you think he's worth?
He'd be like, you got to ask for a mil?
I think he'd probably value himself between half a mil and a mil.
Really?
Yeah.
Michael would probably befriend the kidnappers. He's a nice guy.
Oh,
Mike.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Before you know it, they're having a great old time.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, he's the funniest friend. Like,
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
But don't you value yourself by the fact that you're trying to pick a number that your family are willing to pay?
That's my point. That's my point, right?
You've got to go.
I think I'm worth
$5 million.
How much
can they afford?
But Michael would be looking at it selfishly, thinking, well, I think it's a bit low. Like, I'm worth more than that.
Yeah.
You're going to say, you can do better.
Yeah. Regardless. Yeah, he's like, yeah, well, we talked to your family. And he said, no.
Yeah,
he said,
off.
He said, no. Yeah. Then he would tell him where we lived.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, we've got Craig Forrest.
Yeah.
Two beans.
Toe off.
Not worth
it. Cut a toe off. Send me his toe.
it's 10 minutes. Yeah.
Prove it's him.
that's not his toe.
Yeah. It's a bit swollen. Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a Brennan cop.
Yeah. So he said, yeah, take his ball. I was like, well, he's only got one left.
Don't do that to him.
Yeah, I would have to negotiate that. What do you want to take? Your ball. Well, I
take my thumb. Take my thumb.
Yeah. Oh, not thumb. Thumbs. You gotta have your thumb. Actually, you know, I don't even need my ball anymore. I don't even need it. Take it.
Gets in the way, right? Actually, gets in the way. So you'd be better off.
You would now. Not now.
Yeah, let me help you out with that.
You got one in between your legs. You think about it. Just rides beautifully.
A solo surfer.
Yeah. A little lonely. Yeah.
We're going to end this now. We're going to end this now, right?
Would you put another ball there? No. Like, what would you
do? If they had offered it, which I think they do now.
Yeah, but if you got the other one taken out, would you get two put in?
Oh.
Or would you just get, like, the one?
Of course.
Oh, they double it
what?
Up.
What? Oh.
Right. Yeah, but what is it? They put those glass marbles in, don't they?
They're not glass marbles.
The boulders. You saw the boulders.
It's like styrofoam.
A styrofoam mat?
Yeah. You can stick a pin in it.
it's a great party trick.
Right?
Want to see something cool?
Yeah.
I'm going to stick a pin in my ball.
Does that hurt?
No. All right, listen, we've got to apologize to Emily, so we should end this now.
Oh, my God.
This is Footy Prime. This is why we don't do it all in person very often.
No.
Anyway, keep liking and subscribing to us and retweeting. Check out wearefootyprime.com. Our newsletter is out today as well. Dubs as the opener.
Yes. Really well written.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm a little bit not that happy about it. Just a reminder of when you hated me.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it was a tough beginning for me and Dubs.
I've come around though. I've done a 180.
Yeah. You let me know.
I love you, Sharps.
I know. It's nice.
Everybody.
Anyway.
It's true.
Follow us on Instagram.
But he grows on you.
And keep your comments coming. We love your comments.
Yeah. All right. Until next time. Bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Sorry, Emily.
Not a first impression, Scott.
Apologies.
Especially when it shaves.